So maybe this is a little bit overlapping with my answer before, but when I was fishing, like one thing that was really impactful for me was just the scenery. Like how can I put it? It's, I think like what we take away from the views around us and the vistas around us is really big. Like, and so putting that into art and putting that into a story, sort of making the landscape a character almost, it's something I wanted to try, like having these experiences. And so it's not just like having people as the characters, but also the landscape, I think, can be really impactful and maybe make it a little easier for people to read in some ways.
Well, thank you. I know that you're currently working on adapting a novel into manga. How does the experience differ when you're adapting an already existing work versus your own creation?
So up to now, I have kind of most of the characters I've drawn have been based off of people that I know or like, you know, situations that I've been in. So adapting someone else's novel is sort of like interviewing these characters and having conversations with them.
特にその主人公の男性のキャラクターを掴むのに苦戦しまして8人くらいの男性に取材したんですけどそれがとても有意義だったのでこれからもいろんな人のにその人の人生について聞くっていうのは続けていこうかなと思いました。
Especially, I was having so much trouble figuring out the male character, the male protagonist in the book. And so I ended up interviewing about 8 guys about their lives and talking to them and just getting insight. And I found that really, really helpful, actually. So I think that's something I'd like to keep doing going forward, is talking to people about their lives like that.
Oh, that's so interesting. Thank you. And so we will have some audience questions, but before we get into that, I have to know, do you still fish?
実はもう年に1回くらいしか今はやってなくて、というのもそのさっきも言ったんですけど、自分はその釣りをしている時の景色がすごく好きだったんですけど、魚を釣りたいという欲求があまりないということに気がついて、釣りをするにはそれはすごく大事な、なんていうんですかね、適性だと思うので、それが自分にはちょっとあまりなかったんですよね。
Actually, maybe I only go about once a year now. Like I said before, for me with fishing, like the scenery was something, the thing that I really loved. And once I realized that I didn't really want to fish so much as I wanted to just be there, I sort of fell off with that. But it is something that is kind of inside of me and like important to me, so I will keep it up at least.
Thank you. I had to know. So before we go Q&A, we have sort of a pre-open question from Leslie at 90.1 CJSF. And Leslie, thank you for sending in some questions. So she wanted to ask, in Japanese, the title of Beale Metamorphosis is translates more roughly to the Veranda of Metamorphosis. So, and it depicts the place in which Ichino and Urata chat and bond. Can you tell us about the imagery of the veranda, and if there's a choice of featuring the veranda in the story and the title, or why the choice of featuring the veranda in the story and title?
イメージは気楽な関係の人が玄関じゃないところから入ってくるというものなのでかしこまらないで訪ねていけるような友人関係に2人がなればいいなと思ってその場所にしました。
For me personally, I have this image of the veranda as like a place where you can just kind of easily get into the house without, not the front door, so there's less formality, there's less of that distance between people, so you can just go in. And I felt like that was a great place for them to deepen their friendship and create a friendship.
All right, thank you, Leslie, again for that question, and thank you for answering. Also, thank you for bearing with my first translated Q&A panel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was my honor, and thank you. And we'll open up to some questions if anyone in the audience has questions. I can't see very well, but now I can. Yes, I'm sorry. Yep. Oh, we'll get to both of you, so don't worry.
For the BL Metamorphosis movie, what were the things that you asked the writers to keep in it, and what were the things that you wanted to change?
もっとストーリーがはっきりしたプロットっていうのをいただいたんですけど、私はそれが嫌だったとかでは全くないんですけれども、漫画を描くときに日常をスケッチするような部分っていうのは、映画にもあってほしいなって思ったので、それをリクエストしました。
When it comes to the movie, they kind of tightened up the story, made it, like, the plot a lot more clear. That's the script that I originally got. And I, of course, I didn't hate that, like, it was obviously fine, but what I was trying to do with the manga was really have these kind of sketches, little moments of the everyday, just people living their lives. And so I sort of made the request of like, sort of stuff into the script when I was giving my opinions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ellen, sorry, and you had a question, yes?
A lot of mangaka experience burnout and long work hours. How did you mitigate that? And if you have experienced burnout, how did you recover?
メタモルフォーゼの映画を描いた後にちょっとその状態になってしまったんですけど、それで大事だなって思ったのは、習慣的に仕事をするっていうことが大事だと思って、決まったどうしてもずっと仕事をし続けてしまうので、なるべく決まった時間に仕事をして、決まった時間に休むっていうのを、難しいんですけどやるようにすると、だんだん自分のペースっていうのを取り戻すことができたと思います。
Actually, the truth is, after I finished BL Metamorphosis, that's exactly the state I was in. I was just kind of totally burned out. I think the really important thing is to make a habit of work. So don't just like work constantly or like burn the candle at both ends kind of thing, but that's how I got myself out of it, was to just set like specific hours where I was working and then follow that and make sure that I follow those hours. And it's hard to like maintain that kind of schedule, but by doing that, that's eventually I did get back into like creating and a healthier place.
あと、もう一個言ってもいいですか？なんか、なんでそんな状態になっちゃったかなと思う、考えた時に、割とその売れたいみたいな、もっと人気が出るにはどうしたらいいんだろうっていうのを考えすぎていたのかなと思ったので、それで疲れてしまう人多いと思うので、自分が本当に好きな、読みたい、望んでいる作品は何なのかなっていうのを考えるのが大事だなと思いました。
So, and to just say like one more point, I was thinking about like why did I end up in that kind of place of burnout, and I think it was because I was thinking way too much about like I want my books to sell, I want to create something that's going to be popular or a hit, and so I think you get into that state of mind, a lot of people get into that state of mind and end up like burning themselves out like that. So I think it's important to work on like creating what you want to make and like what you actually care about making, and that's the way out of that.
This is very important advice. Some I need to learn to follow. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes?
I'm curious about the inspirations behind the naming of the protagonists in BL Metamorphosis.
うららは天気がいい春の陽気を表す言葉なんですけど、雪は、まあ、雪のことなので、二人をとにかくその正反対の立場、正反対の性格、何もかもその逆っていう感じにしたかったので、そういう名前にしました。
So Urara, her name means like good weather, like it's a weather kind of term. It means like lovely skies or blue skies. Whereas Yuki's name is, well, snow. So they're kind of very opposite. And I really wanted to express the idea that they were very opposites in their names like that, because they both are in totally opposing positions in their life, and they live totally opposite lives. So I wanted their names to reflect that.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. And then we had another one just above there, yes.
Was the story about two people at two different stages in life bonding over a shared niche interest informed by your own experience, or was it something else?
I think Yuki is a character that I wrote my mother as a model for myself, but 彼女は大胆な性格の人だったので、臆病な私の背中を何度も押してくれたんですね。でそれはそのなんていうんですかね、その人生の同じ時期にいる人からは得られないようなものだったなと思って、それを、まあ使って友人関係を書きたいなと思いました。
The truth is, Yuki is largely based on my own grandmother, and she had like a very bold personality. She was very outgoing and out there, and I'm much more shy, like, so she would often give me that push to go and do things. And I think like that's something, sometimes there are things you just can't get from people in your life who are at the same stage of life as you. And so I wanted to use that experience that I had with my grandmother to create this friendship.
I was going to ask about your grandmother. It's like, ah, my audience question. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. Yes, I can't see. Thank you.
Working in the manga industry, have you ever experienced being put under pressure to commercialize your stories?
私はその幸運なことにそういうプレッシャーをかけられたということはありませんでした。ですし、その確かにそのニッチなキャラクターであるなということは分かって連載を始めたので、思ったよりもすごくたくさんの人に読んでもらえたなっていうのが正直な感想です。
Actually, I've never had that kind of pressure put on me. And I knew right from the start when I was starting the series of BL Metamorphosis that I was writing these very niche characters. So it was a huge surprise to me to have like so many people end up reading the book. Like, I didn't expect that many readers to follow it.
ただその日本の漫画業界はそのやっぱりそういうそういうリクエストがあるような部分っていうか、そういう雑誌などもあると思うんですけど、なんていうんですかね、そういうところで書く人はやっぱりその そういう環境が合っているというか、自分が望んでいる人がそういうところで書いているんじゃないかなと思います。
But I do think that、there are parts of the Japanese manga industry where that is, that kind of pressure to sell is much more important, and those kinds of magazines do exist. So、I think that people who are looking for that kind of environment, for looking for that kind of like let's sell kind of、vibe, they tend to gravitate towards those magazines and go to those places.
All right, we're almost out of time.、we can、yeah. maybe do, if someone has one more, we could do one more.、Yeah.
The artists that you mentioned,What parts of their work do you gain inspiration from? Is it the art or the writing or something else?
Yeah, like which art or writing, which, where you draw the inspiration?
挙げた作家さんたちは、絵や画面作りに特に影響を受けている作家さんの名前を挙げたんですけど、それだけではなくて、足立先生のことで言うと、なんて言うんですかね、まって大丈夫か、なんか何もやってないコマとかたくさん作ることによってリズムを不思議なリズムを生み出している作家さんだなと思って、そこはとても影響を受けていると思います。
All of the artists that I listed before I'm really、influenced by just their drawings、and the way they create a page. So the way they put together a page is very, I'm taking a lot of influence from them in that way、to speak to Adachi、in particularthe way he creates moments of nothing、is really、really great to me. Like, I love it so much. He has so many panels where like nothing is happening really, and that those many panels sort of create this strange rhythm、of the book, and that's something that I just love, and I've really taken that with me in my own work.
And I forgot to ask one very important question. How are you enjoying your first time in Vancouver?
Yes. ああ自然もいっぱいあるし、でも都市でもあるし、その街の作りがとても居心地が良くて来てすぐ大好きになりました。
So I'm just going to answer in Japanese. I guess my first impression is that I would love to live here. You know, Tokyo is great, but there's like a lot of people in Tokyo, so many people in Tokyo, and so it can be a little bit like claustrophobic, a little bit hard to breathe sometimes. But here in Vancouver, you have like, there's so much beautiful greenery and nature, but it's also the city, and the way everything is put together, the way the city is built, it's just so comfortable. The truth is, like, soon after I arrived, I was like, I love this place.
Well, we're glad to hear it, and we hope we can have you back. But thank you.
I will definitely be back.
Well, thank you so much to the Tanai-sensei for joining us. Thank you, Jocelyn Ellen, so much for your work translating. Jocelyn is amazing. We couldn't have done this without her help and support, so thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for joining us. And yeah, please come and get some signs that Dennis Sensei will be signing today and tomorrow. And thank you for coming to Bancap. And we are so honored to have you here. Thank you so much.
This is Bird Note. The loud bugling call of gulls is unmistakable. One of nature's most familiar voices. Can't you just smell the salt air of the seashore, where no ocean view would be complete without a few gulls flying by? Gulls seem so much a part of the sea that we often just call them seagulls, a colloquial title for these graceful, ubiquitous creatures. Although a fixture on many beaches, most gulls aren't truly seafaring birds. Most net from the shoreline. What gulls prefer overall are open areas, like beaches, lakes, ball fields, and pastures, not to mention landfills. In May, most gulls are nesting. 22 species breed in North America. Some nest inland, some along coastlines. The familiar ring-billed gull nests all across northern states and Canadian provinces. Herring gulls breed by the millions along the Great Lakes and Northeast waterways, while laughing gulls nest all along the Atlantic and Gulf coasts. The Pacific coast is home to vast numbers of aptly named western gulls. Whether you call them gulls or seagulls, just remember that a movie scene of a ship far out at sea surrounded by braying gulls was likely filmed just off the beach. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
You just heard this past weekend's Vancouver Comic Arts Fest panel spotlight on Kaori Tsuratani, featuring the voices of moderator Jarrett Evan Sampson, interpreter Jocelyn Allen, and Kaori Tsuratani. I really needed to read BL Metamorphosis when I did. I had found out about it on a podcast a few years ago, in which the hosts were discussing great manga. At that time, I had just about, like, I really did not want to read another, like, shonen manga that wasn't JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And I also didn't want to read another, like, shoujo manga that wasn't, like, a Motohagyo, like, old shoujo manga work. But unfortunately, a lot of what the North American market had at that time was mostly, like, action-packed stories for teenage boys, and beautiful love triangle of romances for teenage girls. The two genders, I suppose. And I was like a 20-somethings year old woman who couldn't deal with that anymore. I needed something a little bit more grounded. When I heard that this story was about an intergenerational friendship between a young girl and an older woman, I was really, yeah, like, it really piqued my interest, because it was the type of premise that I hadn't heard before. And certainly I had known what BL was. I mean, like, you know, I have read my fair share of BL. Thank you very much. At the same time, like, it really satisfied this itch that I had, which was to find things that reminded me, I guess, of a connection that I have with my grandmother. In one of the volumes of BL Metamorphosis, I forget which one exactly it is, but Tsuratani Sensei writes, like, this, like, short little afterword. I think it might really just be, like, two or three sentences long, but she says, you know, I'm always really interested in, like, delighted by hearing about how my readers are reminded of their grandparents when they pick up this story. And without getting too emotional, you know, I can't help but to feel exactly the same way. I think a lot about the beauty of BL metamorphosis. Is that it reminds us that we don't have to do epic, heroic, incredible things. We don't have to be fighting evil by moonlight and winning love by daylight and all that. Not all the time. Sometimes it's just really good to be reminded of our human bonds, how that grounds us, how that gives our lives at that moment a sense of meaning. And I hope if anything at all, the panel discussion that I've shared with you today inspires you to get into the work of Kaori Tsurutani. Of course, I've talked a lot about BL metamorphosis, but she's got other great work out there as well. And if you're interested in boys' love, you know, she's definitely one of the people who you have to watch out for. But also if you're interested in stories about, like, unexpected friendships, that can be very exciting as well. So go check out the work of Kaori Tsurutani Sensei. And I want to give a really big thank you to Jarrett Evan Sampson, Jocelyn Allen, and of course Tsurutani Sensei for letting me record and share their discussion today. From the bottom of my heart, it truly is such an honor to be able to share the wisdom of a person so deeply respected and admired. Thank you so much. And before we end the show off today, I want to do a quick little public service announcement. Chinatown Together, an organization advocating for anti-gentrification in Chinatown, they're putting on an event coming up really soon. It is happening on Saturday, May 25th, so this Saturday, from 2 to 4. At Chinatown Plaza Mall at 106 Kiefer Street. Gal is going to be teaching you how to paint lotuses, and there will be a tea ceremony as well. It's a great opportunity to connect with other people who are passionate about protecting Chinatown from gentrification. And, you know, there's a fun, cool activity there as well. Chinatown Together makes a very concerted effort to center the joy of both residents and allies of Chinatown in their work by putting together these events, urging people to show their solidarity with those who live in the area. So go check that out this Saturday, May 25th from 2 to 4. At 106 Kiefer Street. You can RSVP for this event as well. Go to Instagram at Chinatown Together. And as well, check out more of their events. They've got an events calendar in the link in their biography on their Instagram account as well. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Check out Intravenous every Wednesday from 10 to 11, talking about all things all genders. I've been Leslie, and I'm signing off today. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you really soon.
When I turned 17, a rapper settling in my socks. I had the 3-foot addition bubbling in the box.